Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you for listening to the Qalam podcast. My name is Abdul Nasser Jangda, and I'm excited to announce a new learning opportunity from the comfort of your home. Here at Qalam, we strive to create opportunities for people all around the world from all walks of life to learn about Islam. One amazing program that is a part of this mission is the Seerah Intensive, an in-depth study of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Seerah Intensive is a one-of-a-kind immersive learning experience for the entire family. You receive access to great teachers, develop lifelong friendships with students of knowledge from all around the world, benefit from countless invaluable lessons, and at the end of the day, walk away with a newfound love for the best human being to ever walk this earth, bidnillahi ta'ala. This year, the Seerah Intensive will be offered exclusively online. All recordings and class materials will be provided for lifetime access for you to continue and revisit at your own pace. We will also be offering Seerah Intensive online for kids. For more information, please visit QalamIntensives.com. We hope to see you this winter to learn about the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with us. Thank you and enjoy the podcast.
Inshallah, next up we have Mufti Hussain Kamani. Before I introduce Mufti Hussain, I just want to remind everyone about some of the resources we have available at Qalam with regards to learning about the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You've heard many of our speakers encourage you to go out and learn more about the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so that you can grow in your love for him. And alhamdulillah, there are many resources out there. We're living in kind of the information age. Some of the resources that we have put forth through Qalam Institute, there's a Seerah podcast available on our podcast, which is available on all major platforms. We also have an app which has all of our podcasts or any other recordings, any other khutbahs or lectures that happen from any of our instructors are uploaded on there. So you can check out the Qalam app on iOS as well. We have different series, kind of every variety of Seerah presentation. We have the extremely detailed Seerah podcast conducted by Sheikh Abdul Nasser, which has over 200 episodes. We have series conducted by Ustad Abdurrahman Murphy on glimpses and special moments from the life of the Prophet ﷺ as part of the Heartwork series. We have series conducted by Mufti Hussain as well on the, you know, glimpses from the life of the Prophet ﷺ that he conducted just last year. So we have every kind of, every kind of program. We have really long, extensive, detailed programs. We have shorter, more digestible programs as well. So please check out the podcast at QalamPodcast.com or any other podcast service that you have. So next up, inshallah, we have Mufti Hussain Kamani. He'll be our final speaker for this conference, inshallah. And to close out this conference, Mufti Hussain will be speaking about, please let us know, Mufti Saab, what is your topic, inshallah?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inshallah, today we're going to be speaking about the wafat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the passing away of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The passing of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, Mufti Saab, I'm sure you've, again, this is a similar question I asked to Sheikh Mikhail. I'm sure you have spoken about this moment, you know, many times. This is obviously not the first time, but, you know, every single time, this is one of those moments from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that every single time you feel it, right? It's hard to ever go through it. It's hard to ever kind of just tell it as a story, right? But can you kind of share, what is the motivation behind reliving this moment? What are we trying to really, get from that? And why are we closing the conference on this topic?
First of all, understanding how difficult this moment was for the companions, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, people who lived with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the challenges they faced as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam left the world, because the companions are that part of our family that were present for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And it helps us understand how some of us may have reacted, how we may have felt if we were alive during the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the second thing is to reflect over how meaningful our relationship is with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because the pain of severance can only be felt by a heart that has experienced love. So that severance, that pain that you experience, is a part of that love. And it's not by any means a way to guilt someone, but surely is an opportunity for us to evaluate where we are. Pain isn't translated in tears alone, but it's an experience. It's what a person feels. And that's something that we try to understand and experience when we talk about this final chapter in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Absolutely. And I think another important thing, as you mentioned, is that it's kind of a gauge of where you're at, right? Sometimes we can feel distance or disengage if we haven't interacted with the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for a while, if we haven't kind of checked in with ourselves, right? But when we hear that, if you feel something, if you're moved, that's a hopeful sign that, inshallah, that's a sign of our love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Bismillah, looking forward to it, inshallah.
Barakallahu feek. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Khususan ala sayyidir rusul wa khatamil anbiya wa ala alihi al-askiya wa ashabihi al-atqiya. Amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما محمد إلا رسول صدق الله العظيم. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam lived a beautiful life of 63 years. Each day of that life brought joy to this world. It brought nur and light to this world. Every interaction a human being had with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought more meaning to that person's life, whether it was when they interacted with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as an infant, as a young boy, as a young man, or as the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it was a human, an animal, a stone, a tree, everything had a bond and relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For after all, he was the final and last prophet and the best of all creation. خَيْرُ خَلْقِ اللَّهِ كُلِّهِمِ. The companions benefited so much from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They appreciated every day with him, every moment with him. The kids enjoyed playing near the mosque of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, knowing that in the middle of their play, they would get a glimpse at the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They knew that it was great to grow up in a city that if they were sad, in addition to going to their friends, their siblings, their parents, they can always go to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and file a complaint with him too. And the same goes for the animals. They would come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and complain if wrong was done to them. And the same goes with the tree. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was once delivering a lecture, and the companions in the gathering heard the sound of crying. And they looked and they saw there was a tree trunk that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam previously had leaned on while delivering his sermon. And now that there was a proper pulpit for him to climb and lecture from, that tree trunk was crying. And Hassan rahimahullah ta'ala said that we should learn a lesson from that tree. It was crying because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam decided to step 6 feet away and deliver a sermon from a pulpit. Imagine how much we should be crying of our distance from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's presence was such that when he spoke, everyone was silent. When he smiled, everyone smiled. When he entered, everyone felt joy. And when he left, they all felt sorrow and a gap in their heart. When the Prophet of Allah unsheathed his sword, everyone felt courage. And when the Messenger of Allah stood at a grave, everyone felt sorrow. Because their love for him was so special that everything that he felt, they felt. When the Prophet of Allah stood at his mother's grave, Amina, and he cried, everyone there cried because they were tethered to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As the final days of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam approached, and it was this very same month, Rabi'ul Awwal, the month we are in now, that was the last month that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived. His health began to deteriorate, and he began to give indications to those around him that his time in this dunya was now coming to an end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed the surah, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. This was the last complete surah to be revealed. There were other verses revealed, but as a complete surah, as a package, this was the last one revealed. And in this surah, there is an indication that the task of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was now done. What he was sent to this world for has now been completed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals the verse, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ. Revelation has now been completed. The message of Allah is complete. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he began to spend more time in silence. He didn't speak much, possibly engaging himself in dhikr, possibly enjoying the moments of silence. And it was in one of these moments of silence that Jibreel alayhi salam approached the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and had the very well-known, famous conversation with the Prophet of Allah, which is known as Hadith Jibreel, in which he summarized the entire message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because 23 years of prophethood and 23 years of revelation can become a little overwhelming. But now comes a summary. The khulasa of it all. What is Islam? What is Iman? What is Ihsan? When is the Day of Judgment? What are the signs of the Day of Judgment? And then one morning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam woke up and he was in bad health. And he gathered his wives together and he sought permission from them that I'm not feeling too well and I'd like permission to spend some days until I recover from this illness with Aisha radiallahu anha. And the wives granted permission. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam moved into the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. And it was here that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent the remainder of his life. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued to lead the companions in prayer while he was still struggling with his health. Until one day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led the companions in Maghrib Salah. And the companions, they say that in that Salah, he read Suratul Mursalat, Wal Mursalati Urfa. This was the last surah we heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reciting while he was alive. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came back after Maghrib Salah and he was at home. The adhan for Isha was called and everyone had gathered together. And while Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was heading to the masjid for Isha, he fainted. He woke up and asked, "Asalla an-nas, have the people prayed?" They said, "Messenger of Allah, no one's prayed, they're waiting for you." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam renewed his wudu and began to attempt his approach to the masjid and fainted a second time. And then this happened a third time. Finally, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam woke up and he said, "Muru Aba Bakr fal yusalli bin nas." Go and tell Abu Bakr to lead the prayer. This broke the hearts of the companions because this was a marker of another page in the life of Rasulullah or another step closer to the passing of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because for the companions, there was only one imam in Medina while the Prophet was in Medina, and that was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was an off case that the Prophet of Allah is in Medina and someone else is leading. Originally, Aisha radiallahu anha didn't want her father being the one to lead, and she tried to tell the Prophet of Allah, "Appoint someone else. My father has a soft voice, he cries too much. People may not be able to hear him when he leads salah." But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a firm statement that Abu Bakr will be the one who leads. And later on, Aisha radiallahu anha admitted that I wasn't so much worried about the tone of his voice as much as I was about how people would accept him. No one could stand where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once stood and fulfill the responsibility in standing of the place of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I didn't think it was possible. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew better, and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was very much appreciated and loved by the people. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delivered his last sermon, his last public sermon. It was after Dhuhr Salah, a day or two before he passed away. And in this lecture, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if there is anyone that I owe anything to, let that person come forward so we can settle our affair. The companion sat there quietly. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, today I have paid back the debt of every person. However, there is one debt that remains, and I won't be able to pay it back in this world. Oh, Abu Bakr, Allah will pay you back in the hereafter. And Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu sat in the corner of the gathering with tears in his eyes, crying, وَهَلْ أَنَا وَمَا لِي إِلَّا لَكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ O Messenger of Allah, you keep saying, you owe me, you owe me, you owe me nothing. Allah gave me life, Allah gave me wealth for you, to serve you. It was an honor for me. Who would Abu Bakr be without Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Another wealthy man of Arabia? Many before him have come and many more will come until the Day of Judgment. What made Abu Bakr special wasn't his family or his wealth. Rather, it was his love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was his very deep connection with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he's crying. O Messenger of Allah, why are you even mentioning this? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, زوجني ابنته حملني إلى دار الهجرة أنفق علي ماله. This man gave me everything. After the gathering was dismissed, on the morning of the passing of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he approached the masjid one last time. Abu Bakr was leading the companions in Fajr Salah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was supported on the shoulders of two of his family members. He came to the curtain that was between his home and the mosque, and the curtain was removed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood there looking, and he saw them praying. 23 years ago, there was no such group. And 23 years later now, the mosque is full, it's Fajr time. Abu Bakr is leading them, everyone's praying behind, and the gathering was so beautiful that even though the Prophet's health was deteriorating at that time and he had become weak, he cracked a smile when he saw his ummah in such a beautiful place. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu says that I was there in prayer, but I was looking at the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that moment. I was just looking at him. And I wanted to break my prayer and go and embrace him, go and hug him, tell him how much I missed his smile. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gestured, stay right there. After the prayer was over, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went back to his room. And it was the habit of the companions that they would come one by one to greet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to check up on his health. So they came to check up on him. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu came to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. And he said, O Messenger of Allah, you look much healthier today. It was the morning of the 12th of Rabiul Awal after Fajr Salah. You look much better today, O Messenger of Allah. If I have your permission, I haven't gone to visit my wife and she lives on the outskirts of Medina. I want to go check up on her. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, go. And with that, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu gives his salam to the Prophet. And little did he know, this was his last salam. And he leaves the room not knowing that he will never see the Prophet of Allah again. That moment always just, it breaks me down. It really does. Such a strong, powerful relationship. Such a friendship. They started many years ago, decades ago. They went through thick and thin together. And here Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu is giving his final salam to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam is seeing off Abu Bakr. Allah knows how many tears they must have cried. Even though they may have not known this was the last, but the pain must have been there. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu leaves the gathering. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's health soon after begins to deteriorate. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lies down and the family members are called in. Everyone gather. The Prophet of Allah isn't doing well. This may be the last stretch. Aisha radiallahu anha holds Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in her chest and very close to her heart, just hugging the Prophet of Allah, soaking in every last moment she can have with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She says that when the Prophet passed away, he was in my home. He was in my lap. And while I was holding him, my brother Abdul Rahman entered into the room and he was doing miswak. And I noticed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's eyes were locked on his miswak. So I told Abdul Rahman, give me that miswak. And I took it from my brother. I moistened it with my saliva. And then I used that same miswak to clean the teeth of the Prophet of Allah, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very attached to his miswak. And she says, he passed away in my lap, in my home, and with my saliva inside his mouth. La ilaha illallah. And it was in that moment that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ala inna lil mawti sakarat, that death is truly very difficult. When the companions heard the word death, they broke out into tears because they knew what was going to happen now. The Messenger of Allah never spoke a false statement in his life. Aisha radiallahu anha began to take water and wipe it over the head of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying, everything will be okay. The Messenger of Allah, everything will be okay. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the companions, whoever is nearby, gather them. Let me give one last advice. The companions gathered together one last time, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave his farewell advice. And he said, As-salatu wa ma malakat aymanukum. Never leave your salah. When you stop praying your salah, Allah's help will leave you. If you feel weak, you feel defeated, you feel like you need more strength, if you feel like you're hitting a roadblock, if you want to conquer the world, you have to have a connection with Allah. We've come this far, O Muslims, because of our connection with Allah. If we abandon Allah, Allah will leave us. Nasullaha fanasiyahum. They forgot Allah, Allah forgot them. You think you have power to go far without Allah? You're deluded, you're a fool. The last advice of the Prophet, the last breaths he has, the message that he gives is as-salah, as-salah, your prayer, your prayer. وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ. And be just with those who your right hands possess, meaning anyone that you have authority over, be mindful to them. Don't oppress anyone, whether you're an older brother who has authority over a younger brother, or a parent over a child, or an employer over an employee. Never oppress anyone. The companions, they say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised his shahada finger to the heavens and he said, Allahumma fir rafiq al-a'la, O Allah with the highest companion. Aisha radiallahu anha says, in that moment I knew that he would never raise that hand again and the Prophet of Allah would never live or breathe again in this dunya. And before his hand even came down, Aisha radiallahu anha says, I began to cry. And I cried and cried and cried because I had just lost everything. All of the companions in that gathering began to cry. Everyone in Medina Munawwara began to cry. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anh says, there was no day in Medina that was darker than that day. As the Urdu poet says, Aankh se girta aasu bata raha hai, beh rahi hai qatra qatra muhabbat teri. That these tears that are coming out of my ears are a testimony that your heart is spilling out of my eyes. These tears are your love that I stored away in my heart. And everyone was crying. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu received the news. He quickly mounted his animal. He rushed back to Medina Munawwara. He entered into the mosque and he saw people gathered around and they were in tears. And in the middle was a man lying covered by a Yemeni sheet. He leaned forward, removed the sheet from the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He kissed the Prophet of Allah on the forehead and then said, O Messenger of Allah, you were amazing when you were alive. And you haven't lost any part of it, even though you've left this dunya. O Messenger of Allah, you'll never stop being awesome and amazing. And even though we weren't there when the Prophet of Allah passed away, you and I, there's no doubt that somewhere in our heart we feel that pain that the companions felt. because our hearts are also connected to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let the haters hate as much as they want, because every time they draw a caricature or try to insult our Prophet, that exact day thousands of children will be born whose parents will name them Muhammad. The legacy will continue on. And those who hate him are the ones that will lose out. And those of us who love him, we should learn what passion means from those who hate him. Because we, the ones that claim that we love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, abandon his cause so quickly, know so little about him, are willing to invest so little in promoting him. Go and look at those people who hate him, how far they're willing to go. They're willing to be shot by their opposition if it means that they will protest or profess their hate for him. How far are they willing to go? Buying out newspapers and having segments and documentaries made in spite of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It really makes us question, how do we love him as much as they hate him? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate the maqam of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The companions were broken. All around Medina, you could hear tears. Umar radiallahu an unsheathed his sword and said that anyone that claims the Prophet of Allah has passed away, I will behead him. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an, he emerges amongst the people. He puts Umar radiallahu an to the side and delivers an iconic khutbah in which he said, whoever used to worship Muhammad, let him know that Muhammad has passed away, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And whoever worshipped Allah, let that person know that Allah is living, Allah is alive, and he will never pass. And he teaches people that our love for Allah, our love for Rasulullah, was in reality because of our love for Allah. We're not abandoning this deen. We're not leaving his mission. We will continue with heavy hearts, with a stone on our chest. We will continue because that's what his legacy was. That's who he was. And this is the question that I'm going to pose to this group of people that are joining us today. Hundreds of people across the world and globe, and viewed by thousands of people in the days to come. This whole day, this whole conversation, this whole conference is not just about storytelling. It's about asking, what will you do for the legacy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What are you willing to do? How far are you willing to go? Are you willing to sacrifice your wealth for his cause? Or will you just show up on the day of judgment and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet of Allah, sees you and you say, O Messenger of Allah, I loved you even though I've made no real sacrifice for your name? Is living the sunnah ever going to be a part of our mission? Is dressing like the sunnah ever going to be a part of our goals? Is speaking the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, learning the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, educating young folks about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even on the agenda? Or is this life dedicated to meaningless entertainment? Is it all about just video games and toys and ball games and school and work and homework and food and cleaning? Is that what life is? Those things are all great, and I appreciate people who dedicate time to them. But this heart and this life of ours, like Abu Bakr said, وَهَلْ أَنَا وَمَالِي إِلَّا لَكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. O Messenger of Allah, my wealth and my life are for you. Join the cause of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let that be the deed that takes you into Jannah. If you see someone representing him, doing his good work, educating people with the sunnah, with the hadith, with the seerah, join them. Be from them. Be advocates of the pure life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we had not sent him, but as a mercy to all of mankind. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.